the fellow was saying, fellow with the mustache down in Queechee. Yeah. He was saying that that the time would come with that the money wouldn't mean anything.
No.
And he realized that, and nobody else did. And so they were all going crazy, and they were building all these condominiums. 3,000, he said. 3,000 condominiums and 2,000 private houses. 12,000 automobiles were going to be in Queechee. And he was saying that, you know, soon money wouldn't mean anything, and people would have hard times again, and they didn't realize it.
Yeah, you're damn right. And they're just around the corner, too.
And they're going full speed ahead.
Yeah. Well, them people, you know, most all of them new homes and everything are built on borrowed money. They got to be paid for. It's once in a while somebody, he's made quite a lot of money, and he's got it, or else somebody handed it down to him, left it to him. But a lot of them people, they ain't any better off than you or I. Not a damn bit. It's borrowed money. They think, a lot of people think, because somebody comes in from out of state and buys a piece of land and gives a big price for it, they got money. And they'll take them for every cent they can. But they really haven't got any more money. They're just working people, just like the rest of it. We got them here in town. If a hard time should hit, another depression, they'd lose the whole thing. Just same as local people. They'd be worse off if you had a depression now than they would back in the 30s. Because everything is on borrowed money. Automobiles and houses and you take two-thirds of these people that's moved in and build a house. Their wife works, they have 2 to 3 cars, 2 to 3 snowmobiles, and must be some borrowed money there somewhere.
Yeah, the banks have them.
Yep. And they're trying to get the states to take over these home loans against the people. Take them out of the bank and the state take them over. And that's a poor thing. There's too damn much state and everything right now, and too much government.
Yeah, I read about that. There was a salmon idea. Yep. State would take over the mortgages.
Yeah, that's what they...
Look, yeah.
They're gonna tax everybody so that they've got to sell, and then the state will take it over. That's what they want to do. They're going to have a war right on their own hands right here in the state if they keep on.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
It's like a big bubble. It looks good while it's getting bigger.
Yeah. And it's going to burst one of these days.
And then everybody wants to know what happened.
Yeah, they wonder who's to blame. They don't have to wonder too much. I was talking to Georgie down the garage this morning. He says he got his listed over there for $49,000.
Lifer?
Yep. I got this one here in for $32,000. His is a great big productive farm, and I guess he's got more acreage than I have here. But they got him in for way too much.
And he's a selectman.
Yeah,
yeah. Guess he's an honest selectman.
Yeah, he's a good, honest fella. I think. I always liked Georgie. But it ain't fair to him, it ain't fair to nobody.
He must pay close to $1,000 then.
Yeah, it'd be over $1,000. See, 49,000, he'd be paying on 24 and a half, Yeah, it'd be over $1,000, easy. And I think Wyman's paying closer to 2,000 than anything else right now. Of course, he got a lot of land.
If he doesn't have his cows, how can he come up with that much money?
Mm-hmm. God, I don't know. He's got a lot of young stock and that stuff, but he hasn't got the income that he usually has because he sold his cows because he couldn't work them. Oh, Warren's made some money, I guess, but he must be hurting the same as the rest of us. And Berger up on the hill there, he's got a big acreage, and he was hurting 3 years ago. What the hell is he now? And you're not going to see the out-of-staters come in here and buy and pay any such a tax.
No.
Then they stick up their hands and they say, everybody's to blame. The landowners to blame. They sold a little land, they got big prices. They're to blame because they got high taxes. I can't see what it all amounts to. But that tax, the towns and the state get it all anyway.
Sooner or later.
No, people ain't going to come in. They ain't going to pay them. In fact, there's a lot of them that have bought land are beginning to hurt why they want to sell. I don't know.
You remember what the taxes used to be here?
Oh, on this farm back in the 20s, this whole farm and the barn full of cattle, they taxed the cattle back then, and horses. The whole tax wouldn't be more than $45 or $50 on a barn full of cattle, three or four horses, and the land. $45, $50. Now they don't tax the cattle, but they tax everything else enough to offset it. More than offset it.
Even in those days, you could probably raise your taxes in a week of logging.
Yeah, they
take
used
care
to.
Of them right.
People felt taxes back then because it was hard to get a dollar. Because they felt them, taxes are always seem to be too high. But they ain't out of proportion, same as they are now. If you paid $45 for, you had your herd of cattle, you got your living off your cattle, you go in the woods, get out some wood, and something like that pay your taxes. Sell a cow, would pay the whole taxes. And now it takes two or three cows to pay the taxes.
Sell off a heifer or something.
Yeah, they used to raise cattle, sell to pay their taxes, and used to raised a lot of turkeys through this section. A lot of the farmers had a flock of sheep, extra. They'd maybe get enough off in a flock of sheep, wool, lambs to pay their taxes per year. And everybody, they raised big families and sent them to school and paid their bills, and everybody got along. And now nobody gets along.
In the movie, they were saying, with this old fellow with the mustache, that they expected what's down in Queechy to go all the way up past Montpelier and Marshfield and Plainfield in 15 more years.
Yeah.
I can't believe that, but I imagine...
Well, God, I can now. The way it's come in the last 15 years, I could say the whole damn thing could happen.
Yeah, I guess no one would believe what happened.
No, you can't really, you can't hardly believe it. And these four-lane highways, you get onto them and ride, you can't hardly think it they've gone ahead that fast. And I don't think it, of course, maybe they need better roads, but that helps your crime wave. Of course, that lets the cars right in here. Of course, they come from New York City up in here and back, just a few hours. Come up here and commit a robbery and get back to New York before they even know there's been a robbery up here. Hell, they're just helping everything along. Well, everything is going too fast anyway. Same as you get down into White River and just sit there and watch the traffic. There's a string of cars both ways. What must be in the cities?
It's gonna look like that.
Yeah.
Down in Bennington.
Yeah.
You can spend in the fall, yeah, or on a weekend when the skiers are up, you can spend 2 hours trying to go a mile on your own streets.
Yeah. And you take back here in 1930. Nobody come up here unless they come see you. Now, some days 15, 20 cars go by here. Just an old back road. And back in the 30s, nobody come here unless they was coming to see you or something. Pretty well up into the 40s before you hardly ever see many cars up here, but it was just coming for a purpose, you know, coming to see you or coming on business or something. Mm-hmm. And now the damn road is full. You can't believe it, anything to change that quick. Especially everything has changed since the Second World War. Everything has changed faster than you can't hardly believe it. You look around and on knolls and in hollows, why the houses you wouldn't think possible if anybody built a house there. Take a bulldozer and gouge it out, and pretty soon they got a nice looking building spot. You notice them down back at Kelton's, down on White River, West Hartford?
Kelton's is a big truck place?
Yeah. Way up on the ridge there, you notice all them new houses?
Yeah.
Steeper than the roof of your house, and they've taken a bulldozer and put it in there. It ain't too bad at all now.
I know.
But they've got to get out of the cities. There's no more room for them. People got to get out of the cities. And you can't blame them a hell of a lot for wanting to get out. They've got to expand somewhere.
Well, you're pretty good about that. A lot of people do blame them.
No, I don't blame them a bit. If I lived in the city, I'd want to get out. No, I don't blame them a bit. And there's millions and millions of acres. It ain't doing anybody any good. Those kind of people might just as well have it. Just exactly. You can go over through Taylor Valley here, and you see the acres and acres that is growing nothing, only just bushes. And it's been like that for 40 years, or better, 50 years. Nothing but bushes. Someday we'll take a jeep and we'll go over through there.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's still beautiful, but there must have been a lot of good farms.
Yeah.
A lot of sheep, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure your places where the old cellar holes and clear over through there. Well, back when I was a kid, they were still haying some of the old farms over there, but the buildings had all fell down. And some nice laying land, too. But they laid the most of that, as I was telling you before, most of that's in the town of Berkshire. And then people moved out of there. When they put that jumbo tax, it goes right back to taxes. right into Fellas.
Back in 1902 or something?
Yeah, back in about 1903, right around there. Yeah, we'd take the Jeep and go over through there someday. Maybe we better go pretty quick before we get mired.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah. It used to go from here. See, I had folks in Stratford. My mother's folks all live in Stratford. And we'd go here up to the filling station. Then take the right-hand road over the, over through Beaver Dam area. You been in there?
Yeah.
Right in straight of that. Go be in Beaver Dam area. And take a left, go up the hill, and then take a right. Go right down through Taylor Valley. Come right out to where my aunts and uncles used to live.
Mm-hmm.
Come up by the Stratford. Well, hell, I used to know that country. I could walk in that country anywhere. Get in that area, wouldn't know anything about it. I ain't been in there for 45 years, probably. Not to walk around. We used to walk over the hill, like from here to Stratford, about 10 miles over the hill.
It's a good walk.
Yeah. Didn't mind it at all then. 10 miles wasn't nothing.
Straight over Burgers?
Yeah, right straight over through there. You see that little cut right on the top of that mountain, right back of that bush?
Yeah.
Yeah, right up through there, right down over the backside of the hill.
Take you a couple of hours.
Yeah, probably three. Doesn't matter, 3-4 hours. We never hurried during the day. Yeah, that's quite a country. We cut pulp all through them countries. Cut right down underneath that hill that you can see over there with the notch in the top. Right down in the hollow there. Cut 175 cord on one lot. That's a lot of pulp.
Yeah, I imagine. That's a whole summer's worth?
Yeah, that was a whole summer's work. Cut and peeled it and sawed it up. Piled it. Skidding, have to skid a lot of it. That's the hardest part of it.
Get it out on the road.
Yeah, get it out where they can get it with a truck. Yeah, I think 175, 178 cord. And we finished up just before Thanksgiving. We got a snowstorm. The last day we worked over in there. Got a big snowstorm. That finished the whole thing. Worked over here in the Beaver Dam area all one winter on pulp. I guess we must have had a couple hundred cords, as a matter of that winter. Or else we skid that damn pulp out from under the snow, 4 feet of snow.
That must be much harder than doing it in the summer.
My God, that was a job. Your hands freeze, and you're cold, and you're wet, and that damn, them damn logs that's been peeled, just like an icicle.
Mm-hmm.
Slip, slide. Hard to keep a chain on them or anything else. But they don't cut too much pulp around here anymore. There's no market for it. I guess you could sell some and they'd truck it to New York. Well, Lebanon's all down. Closed the mill down here 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, there was a fellow in this movie who used to work at the mill in Lebanon.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, he said, well, we, I don't know, 20 of us or 30 of us, however many worked there, lost their jobs. He said, but that's nothing. He said there are farmers in every hill, all around for county after county, who don't have any place to sell their pulp. Yeah. And he was saying that that hurts more than the jobs down there.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, when you cut the market, that's just something you got to just do something else, that's all. Yeah, we used to make good, used to make a living. Just cutting pulp, summers.
More profitable than farming?
Than farming?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, not if you got a big, had a good herd of cattle, but always kind of a drawback. He didn't have the road, and then you got to go into bulk tanks and everything, and I want big enough operator. You got to be a big operator to keep up with it. That's trouble now. Most all the farms you see now are big farms. Up north of here, you'd see a farm with maybe 100 head of cattle. Maybe you'd drive for an hour and a half before you see another big farm. Or they'd probably be, oh, maybe 60 miles apart or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see a few big farms. Not, you didn't see hardly any small farms. The small herds of cattle, it was all big herds. Oh, I never was much of a farmer, no, I really.
Sounds like you did a lot of logging.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like you did a lot of logging.
Yeah, we've logged and pulp and that kind of stuff.
You learned all that from your father?
Yeah. Yeah, he always worked in the woods.
And he learned that from his father?
Yeah. Well, what little time that he had, he didn't have much time to learn. See, he lost his father when he was 9 years old. So he didn't have much of a chance to learn from anybody. He learned by experience more than anything else. Hard knocks and getting kicked around. He was working in the lumber woods when he was 9 years old. Driving old black ox, skidding logs. That's pretty hard when a kid has to work in the woods at 9 years old.
Yeah.
I don't know what the kids would mount to now at 9 years old.
Well, if they had to, maybe they'd have to.
Yeah, that's different.
That's the test.
Yeah. Yeah, if it come to it, they probably would have to.
You were telling me what happened to your father's father. He was working in the woods.
Yeah. Went up and cut off a bull spruce. They told him not to. He went up and cut the top off, and he started right down. It turned him right under. Come right down top and put the branches right through him. I seen my dad ride him down a good many times. Go up and cut the top, ride him down. But it's really foolishness, because a man never knows what a tree's going to do.
Yeah, they don't do it too much anymore, I don't think.
Oh, there's some people, bullet-headed, you know, and they've done it and got away with it and think they're always going to, you know. Yeah, we was cutting way over in back of Harry's cabin that one time, and we hung up a spruce. Oh, couldn't get it down. Oh, he says, of course we can get it down. Pretty soon you see him walking right up into the spruce, his double-bedded axe, about a foot and a half of snow. Go up there and give out a couple of whacks, and down he'd come. Sometimes they would come right along, too. And he come within about, oh, maybe 4 or 5 feet of the ground, jump off like a squirrel, jump into snow, jump clear of the tree. Think nothing of it. Everyday work, you know, everyday occurrence.
Listen, you want to tell me where to cut some more wood?
You want to cut some more this afternoon?
Yeah, I could go out alone and cut some. I got some more time before I have to go down to the airport. I could go and either just cut it and leave it, or cut it and bring it back.
Sprayed at night and in the daytime. Like a lot of it for spraying.
Yeah. Does that have to all be full?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah. Should have about 12 gourd. Probably won't get that much, but.
Yeah, there's maybe three in there. Maybe. Two or three?
Probably a couple.
Yeah. I could probably come over around. Just after lunch, after dinner, I'll come over.
That'll be good. Appreciate all the help I can get.
Yeah. Well, 12 cords, a lot of wood.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I got to get Clarence some too.
Oh, he's ordered some.
Yeah, I suppose he's gonna have it. He ain't said a damn word. He didn't last year. Till I spoke to him.
Till snow is on the ground.
Yeah, I got it mostly all of it after snow. I don't intend to do it this year, if I can help it.
Intend, it's a lot harder.
Makes quite a mess.
Can't be sure of your footing.
No.
And you slip with that saw.
Yeah, and you have to use horses. Well, he's a funny chap. He don't say anything. He probably figures that I'm going to get it, and that's all there is to it.
You've been getting it for him for a couple years?
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. It's right handy here. And if he had to have it hauled from somewhere else, cost him a lot more money.
Yeah.
I guess, say, you're getting $35 delivered in Chelsea down here now.
Yeah, Hink delivers 35.
Yeah. And by golly, some of his wood ain't too good either. I see you had a load on the truck the other day. The back was off of it. And it laid around quite a while.
Usually it's wood that was cut last year.
Yeah.
Laid on the ground a year.
Yeah. I'd rather have good green wood.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more life to it. And the back, ordinarily, when everybody was getting out wood, they'd kick on that kind of wood. But now, ain't nobody getting out wood. They kick on it, they ain't gonna get anything. So they don't say anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually you can't sell wood that the back is off of it. Same as they cut a whole lot of lumber off in the place and the tops are left, you know. After 1 year, the back is all off.
Why is that bad?
Well, the life of your wood is gone.
For boards or for the stove?
For the stove. Softwood lumber, it wouldn't make so much difference. Sometimes lumber would lay on the ground a year, wouldn't hurt it too much. And then again, take pine lumber. You cut it and let it lay on the ground, it'll get black and the worms will work in it. It ain't no one is good. It's fresh cut stuff. Cut it right down, saw it right out.
Mm-hmm.
And stick it up. You leave it something about the bark on the tree, the damn worms get under the bark. And they keep boring, they go right through that tree. Probably you've seen wormholes in boards, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. That's what does it. Wood borers, they call them. God, you go up to a pile of logs that you got skidded.
Yeah.
And you can hear them damn worms are chewing away in that wood.
Yeah.
Or you can hear them back right away from them.
Never heard of
them. Yeah, they'll chew right straight through that. It's especially on pine. They work pine quicker than they do anything else. Hemlock can lay, lots of times hemlock is laid on the ground for 4 or 5 years. And you saw it up and it'll still be solid. But pine won't do it. Pine will spoil.
And maple will burn worse.
Maple a lot better. If you're going to get out maple, enjoy it. Take and split it, same as that top block there, and pile it up. And let it dry that way.
With the bark on?
Yeah, I got it, it'll burn damn good. Your back will fall off, but still it'll burn damn good. But you let that stuff lay out in the woods, on the ground, I'd rather have green wood. Green wood, a lot more heat in it, and it'll burn better.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you pile it up. Split it and pile it up, and let it season. It's good that way. Or put it in a shed. Pile it up in a shed and let it dry. It's the best, eh? Shed dried wood. But sowed right on the ground, not piled up. Tin of horn is good. I got two piles over there in the woods. I did have two piles, and they fell over after the snow melted out. That ain't as good as green wood.
Worth bringing out?
Yeah. Yeah, anything will burn.
Yeah.
But it don't last as long. And it ain't as good. Only trouble with green wood, you get more creosote from it.
Yeah, I've got to change the stovepipe after a couple of years.
Yeah, she waxes one out once a week.
Really?
Yeah. Just gets a little in it and it'll start smoking. The other one we clean out just about once a month, a long pipe.
How do you clean out the stovepipe?
Stovepipe? I'll just take it down and whack it, wrap it. It'll fall right out. And I gotta clean my chimney someday, if I can find something to do it with.
What do you gotta do?
Oh, I gotta get way up on the top with about a 12, 14 foot pole, something sharp on the edge. Just keep running it down through. That chimney has been made probably 15, 18 years, never burnt out. I wish it would burn out.